Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I am joined by my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. What a beautiful start to April.
Oh, that is no April Fool's joke.
Yeah, no. Just absolutely stunning. It seems like we're coming out of winter into spring.
It certainly feels like it. It's a glorious day today. It was one yesterday. I'll give us a brief forecast, and it is going to be brief because today is sunny with a high of 60, if you can believe it, Sandpoint residents, a day to actually get out in the garden. And from there on, Phil, rain, right through Monday.
It's a good thing we got the weekend done. What, did you do anything fun?
Oh, I did. Fishing? Not fishing, Phil, but I got out skiing yesterday. It might be my last day. It was beautiful.
Went up to Turner Mountain for the Top Two Dog Relay.
Top Two Dog.
Top of Turner Mountain to the Red Dog Saloon.
Oh, my goodness. Sounds challenging.
I just cheered people on. It was snowshoe up, ski down, run, and then bike.
That sounds fun.
And then drink beer.
Oh,
I think we can say that on the air, can't we?
Yes. Nothing happens in Sandpoint without some relationship to beer, as far as I can tell. Well, we have a great morning show this morning, and I think everyone's going to be excited to hear about these things because it is related to gardening and gardens. This morning, we're being joined by Manuela Eyring. Manuela is a representative for the Bonner County Gardeners Association, and she's also a local nursery owner of Florascape down in Sandpoint. Not Sandpoint, Sagal. Good morning, Manuela.
Good morning.
It's great to see you and have you here again joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And then our second guest, and I feel very lucky to have her this morning, is Michelle Murphy. And Michelle is a community garden creator. She's been involved with Edible Schoolyard Garden Project for many years, and she's moving on to new things related to garden installations. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Oh, so good to have you here, too. And it is the face of spring to see you two here, because we know we're talking...
Finally!
That's right. We know we're talking about gardens, gardening, classes, everything fun that happens related to the outdoors and gardens in Sandpoint. So thank you for being here. This morning, we are all about gardens, and let's start by having both of you, Michelle and Manuela, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your organizations. But start with yourselves and tell us how it is that you became passionate about gardens and gardening. Manuela?
Well, I started very early, as a young gal, I had to pick a profession, and gardening at the time sounded really great. I was looking for something I could spend time outside, and it was a perfect match for me. I love plants. I love the cycle of the seasons and watch things grow. And so I stuck with it for the past 45 years, and about 20 years ago, I started my own business, and
that's been your nursery business.
Which
is really an intensive business this time of the year.
Yeah, it's another cycle where April, May, we go crazy. And
are there things you specialize in the business?
Well, I grow my own plants. That's really what I do, is raise plants, propagate. I love to help people with gardening questions, and that's probably part of my involvement with the Bonner County Gardener Association, just answering questions and giving some advice.
And you are a great resource because you've got the experience of being with Bonner County Gardeners for some time, but also horticultural background.
I actually earned a degree in Switzerland, where I grew up, and it transferred to Sandpoint because climate is very similar to where I was raised. So,
yeah, very good. Well, that is a long and enduring love of plants and working with plants. That's great to hear. Michelle, you did not start out as a garden installer. Tell us how you came to become.
Well, we would meet at Lois White, my dear, dear friend, which a lot of people know, at Peaceable Kingdom. And one of my friends, Gail Burkett, said, "What do you think about starting a school garden?" And I thought, well, I don't know that. I had just retired, and I thought that's not going to take very much time. Maybe a couple girls will show up, and I had no idea how popular it was going to be. We had about 30 people at Northside Elementary School. Mm-hmm. That was the first school garden. So, so now we've got gardens at each of the elementary schools, and at now we're doing community gardens as well. So beyond the community garden that was established, you know, by STI at the large one.
What drew you to it? What drew you
I
to
have
Lois
no idea. I mean, I had never been a gardener. I think I was just inspired by Lois. She's
she was
such
a force
an amazing
of nature.
Person.
She did so many things for people who may be relatively new to the community. She helped to found and step in here if I get something slightly wrong. The Farmers Market.
Farmers Market.
The Bonner County Master Gardeners.
Did she start that
she
as well?
Did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
and the Native,
POAC maybe?
Native Plant Society
Native Plant
and Arboretum
Society.
Both. And POAC.
And the church, too. What's the church?
Oh, yes.
The Quakers.
The Quakers.
She was amazing.
Plus her Peaceable Kingdom, which she was just prodigious in terms of taking people in and showing them informal trainings, monthly writings.
Right. Just, yeah, she was a huge inspiration. Yeah. She was one of the first people that I met, fortunately, when I moved to Sandpoint.
That is so interesting. I did not know that about Lois Wythe. I only knew her Arboretum connection.
It was such a joy just to see the kids in the garden. You know, it was just such an inspiration at Northside. So we had gotten some funding through Cal for that garden. And I thought, you know, we've got to really move this to the other elementary schools. So, you know, you get the kids in there and they're like, I love kale. I love chard. And
who doesn't like edible homework?
I know. And so they've taken it, you know, home. And like, I had really had no experience working with kids before. And it's like, you know, do you think they'll want to get their hands dirty? And it's like, the answer to that question is yes. They do. They like to get dirty. Shoveling dirt is one of the most favorite things in the garden.
That's true. Well, Michelle, you're actually moving into the next question that I had for you. And it's to have you ask you to each tell us about your organizations and the work that you do to get local folks out gardening or installing gardens, helping. So let's roll into how that works
well,
with
the
schools, community.
You know, I had just gotten the last elementary school garden put in homeschool, and I was like, okay, you know, check that off the to-do list. And then I was approached by Nancy Jenkins of the Health Coalition here, which is a relatively new organization. And Perky at Northside Elementary said, there's some gals that want to talk to you about a grant for gardens. And I thought, you know, I'll help them. I've written so many grants. And, you know, then when we started meeting, I was like, no, they want to give me money. They don't want, you know. So through WIC, we've got a really large grant through WIC, through the Health Coalition. So we started putting in community gardens. So the first one was at the food bank. And the produce there, Debbie Love, the director, says, you know, it just flies off the shelves. Mm-hmm. And then we put one in at, well, I should thank KRFY for this. I was on the radio station or on the radio about 2 years ago, and I was saying, you know, if you know of any place that would like to put in a community garden, please let me know. So one of your listeners contacted me and said, you know, our church, Christ Our Redeemer, would like to put in a community garden. So it's on Pine Street across from the Athletic
Club.
Yes,
I've seen it.
That whole area there is going to be a garden. I think we've got 30 or 40 beds in there now.
Wow.
And it is lush. It's a beautiful garden.
Yeah. And so I should also, I'm going to give a plug for Christ Our Redeemer. We need volunteers to come in and help us. So it's 263-7516. And that's Rebecca Hawkins, who's in charge of it. So it's going to be, we're going to be adding more raised beds and an orchard in there as well.
Now, neat.
If the morning show bump works, we're going to see lots of volunteers.
Good.
That's right.
Good.
Michelle, tell us a bit about how the gardens actually get built and get, you know, up and running. Tell us about that.
Well, I have to thank the Bonner County Gardeners Association. Without them, they stepped in at the beginning. Janae Dale, who is just a superhero. We have one of their members assigned to each of the school gardens. So that takes care of the school gardens. And they've been, without the Gardeners Association, this would not be sustainable. So they're in charge of, you know, giving instruction to the teachers so the teachers aren't burdened. And then with the community gardens, that's different because, you know, you've got an organization. So they have their own set of volunteers and staff and whatnot.
Sure. Who's built all of these gardens?
My poor husband has installed so many automatic watering systems. I can't believe it. But it's just different at each community
place.
Garden. So.
But typically volunteers do
all the work. Last year, a number of volunteers from Cedar Hills came out and worked in the library garden and at the Christ Our Redeemer.
Yeah, and at one time the Elks were building
the Elks are phenomenal. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, for the first couple elementary school gardens, I wrote grants from Cal and PAFE and Equinox, and then the Elks stepped in and pretty much adopted me. So they put in the last five school gardens with $2,000 grants for each garden. So they've poured $10,000 into the community.
Very nice.
And they come in and do all the work, too, which is nice.
Now, the kids get engaged. Tell us about how you engage the students in the process.
Yeah. Well, at first we were having a garden club, an after-school garden club. And now it's kind of, because of the Gardeners Association, it's kind of melded into the curriculum. So they just love, you know, getting out there and, you know, planting. And they're just amazed. I mean, when you plant a little seed and it starts growing, it's just like a miracle has happened, you know. So, and then when they get to harvest it, it's like the school cafeteria tells the kids, you know, that was grown in the school garden. It's like then they'll eat it, you know, because they have the ownership of it too. So even if it's like a banana or something different, it's like that was in the school garden. It's like at Northside, mm-hmm. the first year they ran out of salad dressing because the kids were eating so much salad. So, you know, and you give the kids some attention, and you know, it's like, you know, you're worthy of our time. You know, we're coming in here and volunteering, and it's just a huge self-confidence boost.
It's easy to picture them in the spring helping with the planting and the early nurturing and in the fall harvesting, but do the kids hang around in the summer? Do they adopt it as a summer project to help
out? At some schools, they do. Like, I know Mac Holland at Farm and Stidwell has, you know, runs it during the summer times.
I really only see Southside, and that garden is a little bit smaller. And it seems like not much is happening in the summertime.
Yeah,
at first it was,
but then it kind of like soccer takes over and other interests. So that's why you do pretty much a fall harvest.
Well, I can mention that at Sagal Elementary, there was a small core group of students who returned on a weekly basis with their parents, maybe 8 to 10 kids, not always that many, but they were the enthusiastic gardeners. And the benefit for those kids was that they received a little extra produce in the summertime.
Right.
They really enjoyed that. Yes, disclaimer, I helped at Sagal Elementary last year, and we'll probably again this year.
Good.
It's really, it's just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
That's what, you know, the whole project was designed to do, is just to have something open for the community. It's like, if you want to participate, you know, and contribute to our kids, you know, well-being and their health and nutrition. And
yes, yeah. So, before I forget, I should mention Don Childress. He was actually a bigger helper than me. He did more. He was the main helper at Sagal. Thanks, Don.
So how many community gardens do you have under your wing now?
Let's see. So through the WIC funding, we put in one at the food bank. As I mentioned, and then we got a Cadeau Foundation grant, so we expanded that last year. There's one at Mountain State Early Head Start, which service our community from pregnancy to 3 years old. And they do a lot of home visits, so they take the produce to the family's home, and a lot of them had not, you know, experienced eating that. It's like, oh, that's what a fresh tomato tastes like. Where else? The library. We're putting one in at the library. You know, if you look at the library to the west, where there's that huge green Quinset hut, that's coming down, and that whole area will be a library. And that's going to be focused not as much on, you know, getting produce out to the community, but it's going to be a lot of interactional activities for kids. And then Christ our Redeemer, and I feel like I'm forgetting one, but I think that's it.
And how many schools?
Let's see. All the elementary schools, all seven elementary schools, the charter school, Homeschool Academy, and then it's really exciting. We're going to be putting in a garden through the High Five grant was funding us at the middle school. And at first, you know, when we first started the elementary school gardens, the kids thought, you know, that's kind of a little kid thing, and you know, we're not interested in that. But now they're really interested in it, and they have a culinary class. This will be their second year. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm on the board of Food for Our Children, and a lot of the elementary schools, over 50% of our kids qualify for the free or reduced breakfast and lunch. And then they get to the middle school, and that drops off dramatically. And it's not that they've found suddenly, you know, a source of food, but there's the stigma that's associated with it. So maybe this will be, you know, putting in a garden, having the culinary class, maybe this will be a way to kind of get the stigma, you know, off of it. And there's also one at Lake Pondere High School, too, a garden, which Rand is the culinary teacher. He's amazing. The kids are phenomenal.
That's neat.
That's a lot of gardens. That's,
yes,
I think
it is.
I'm up to 14 at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Let's circle back to the library for a moment. It seems to me I heard that other organizations might be helping, even the Native Plant Society.
Yes.
How about Manuela? Is the Bonner County Gardeners Association involved with that? Or I'm not sure.
You know, I know that they do some work for the school gardens, but honestly, I don't know how much
and
the involvement is.
Yeah, with the new library garden, I think that's a little more of a demonstration garden, not a production garden.
I met with the Gardeners Association last month, I think, and I think that we're going to have maybe a volunteer day at the library as well, but I'm not really sure about that. So I think that they'll participate
at
in
some
that,
point.
Like maybe have a booth or something like that. So
sure.
I think we're kind of like wearing them thin, you know, like with all the school gardens. So
they do a lot.
They do
a
lot.
The Bonner County Gardeners, they do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time to bring the Bonner County Gardeners Representative Manuela back into the conversation. Manuela, you have a lot to share in terms of what's going on with Bonner County Gardeners this year. So where would you like to start? Maybe what is the organization? Who are they?
Well, it's a group of people that love plants. And also what I noticed, a lot of people that move new to the area find a really good connection there. It's the plants are kind of the common thread for everybody, but throughout the year they meet for picnics and gatherings and Christmas parties and all that. So it's really a year-round group of people that have a social aspect and, of course, are plant-based.
Yes, and science-based, correct?
Oh, yeah.
You're very
yeah.
much scientists as it comes to gardening.
So they do offer the Master Gardener program. That's one of their big classes. And then also every Wednesday through April into May, actually, they have, they offer classes which go from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. every Wednesday. It's just $10. And
these are classes for folks that may not yet be members of Bonner County Gardeners.
And you, as far as I know, you don't have to be a member to take those classes. Of course, they will
encourage
you to join. And it's only a $25 a year membership fee, so it's not an expensive organization.
What are some of the things the classes cover?
The Wednesday classes for April is actually tomorrow, April 3rd, will be Farmer's Tricks for the Home Gardener. And they will talk about how to extend your growing season and to work with non-till techniques.
I believe one of the instructors, Phil, is Spencer Neatman. You probably remember he and his partner joined us last year to talk about their organic garden. Mm-hmm. Is it Clark Fork or Hope? Somewhere like that. It's east of here.
Yeah.
Very interesting techniques about gardening.
Yeah.
So
that
would be interesting.
And another class would be planting an ornamental meadow. And this talks about using perennials and, you know, eliminating some of the grass and the lawn.
Meadows. And, you know, as everyone knows, of course, I'm from Minnesota, and the big thing was always like either a tall grass or a low grass prairie, but I don't think it's really a prairie landscape here, is it? It's more meadow-oriented.
Yeah.
Different grasses.
Yeah,
different
very
grasses,
much so. So it wouldn't be a prairie,
and,
meadow.
On April 17th, nightshades, big topic, how to get a red tomato in North Idaho.
That is big.
So they'll be talking about growing tomatoes and potatoes in North Idaho.
And maybe peppers.
Peppers will go, that's the tricky one, like the tomatoes, then we have ergonomic gardening, and this is more about how to use tools and preserve your body.
Yes.
Because it's it can be very physical working in the garden, and to use your tools properly. And there is some pretty nifty gadgets out there nowadays to make
save
the job easier. Yeah.
Manuela, will there be any design considerations, garden design around ergonomics?
I'm not sure that they will incorporate that as well. I know in the planting a meadow, an ornamental meadow, there will be design questions, yes. And the last class on May 1st is actually with the chef from Pack River Store on creative ways to use your spring veggies. And apparently he will have some samples to taste during that class as well.
Ooh.
And if you really are a gardener and you put hours upon hours into your garden and you think it's time to show off the fruits of your labor, you might want to consider being on the garden tour July 7th. Big event, and it's awesome to participate and visit all those beautiful gardens.
So to recap the classes, they're on Wednesdays?
They're on Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m.
And where are they held at?
And they are held at the Bonner Mall.
Events?
No, sorry. It's not the Bonner Mall. It's the
Event Center. And it's across from the Bonner Mall.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it can be a little hard to find.
In Ponderay, yes.
Do people need to sign up ahead of time or can they just show up?
We recommend that they sign up. And there is a website and Facebook. And you can pay through PayPal on the website. You could just walk in, but the classes do fill up.
And so what's the website's address, the URL?
All right. Well, we could Google it.
BCGA,
something like that.
Yeah, it's BCGA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Google knows everything.
Yeah, it does. BCAGA.org, I believe. And Manuela, those courses are certainly available for members and non-members, but the Master Gardener course is pretty involved and intensive. I have a friend going through it right now, and that started earlier this spring. But what are the benefits of taking the full membership course?
It's just more in depth. They're talking about soil health, about plant diseases, about pests and how to control them. It's several weeks, so it's quite a bit more of a time commitment. And you'll have different speakers. Some of them are from the community, but you also have professors that come and have presentations. And those are 3 to 4 hour classes once a week.
Yeah, held throughout, early spring up until garden time nearly.
They start in February and it goes all the way into spring.
Yes.
After completion, you are a master gardener. You're supposed to volunteer some time and do some community work. But I find it's very rewarding. And again, you get to meet a lot of people.
And if you're able to implement some of your skills right away, I find that we remember better if we start using them right away.
Hands-on is always very, very good.
And it sounds like, thanks to Michelle, there's no lack of opportunities.
I made a note of that. Yeah, we've got plenty of opportunities for you. So.
And school gardens, I think, are a lot of fun for both, for the volunteers or teachers and the participants.
Yeah, I think so. It's a really rewarding experience. Yeah. Then they bring the gardens home too. So, you know, then they're teaching their parents a lot of times how to garden. And, you know, I know there was one little girl that was like, my dad was watering the plants too much. They were turning yellow. And it's like, you know, turn off that water hose, dad. And so
it is fun when
it's a great partnership that we have.
Yes. Well, for those of you just joining us, this is KRFY 88.5 FM Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and Phil and I are joined this morning by two different but so interesting gardeners. We have Manuela Eyring, who's representing Bonner County Gardeners Association, and Michelle Murphy, who's been intensively involved in creation of community and school gardens. We're going to take a short song break and then we're going to come back and cover what we haven't covered yet. Here comes the garden song. And that was David Mallett with The Garden Song. That's such a great garden song, and just makes us, for me, it makes me think about spring and gardening. Love that one. Once again, you are here with 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio, for the Idaho Panhandle with me, Julie Calamine, and Phil Huff on your Tuesday morning show. And we are talking with gardeners, Bonner County Gardeners Association member, Manuela Eyring and Michelle Murphy, who has for years created and helped make sure that they are maintained, the community gardens, the school, and the community gardens.
And I know I'm so excited because our yard, our raised beds are just finally poking themselves up out of the snow, getting some sun. They're warming
finally.
Up. They're not quite ready yet to... did the finger test. They're still too cold. You probably are way more sophisticated. But tell us, with the 14-15 with the library, community gardens, anything in the ground yet?
No. Okay. You know, we were having meetings in February talking about gardening, and it was really hard to get excited about it because it was like 10 degrees outside. So now it seems like just overnight, it's like, okay, now we need to start getting busy. When I go home this afternoon, I'm going to start emailing the library and the other gardens that we're going to be putting in and working with and say, okay, let's get started. So,
yes.
I just never thought spring would ever get here, but I guess it's here finally.
Well, it's probably making you both anxious that we just have today and then snow. You probably want to just run out of the studio and do a bit of gardening before a week of
rain.
My
garden is completely full of snow still.
But
I think in town, like at some of the schools, that maybe we can get started on some of those.
There's crocuses coming up in front of the Gardenia Center.
Say, I'd like to circle back to planters for a moment because Phil, you mentioned you're putting your finger and trying to feel what's happening in that planter. Yeah. But there is an advantage to a raised bed planter, just even beyond ergonomics. Manuela, would you like to address that?
Well, when you raise your soil, it dries up much quicker. And it's so the soil warms up faster, it dries up faster. So plus, you don't have to bend over. It brings it up to you, and it can also be critter-proofed or more so critter-proofed, especially regarding rodents. So there's a lot of advantages to raise your soil. Also, if you live somewhere where you have very poor sandy clay soil, it's easier to just raise your beds rather than trying to amend the existing ground.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're not walking in those beds either. That's got to be helpful.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Although even in a garden with flat ground, I usually designate a walking row in my planting rows and try not to walk, especially on wet soil. That's really bad. It'll compact it and actually can damage some of the microorganisms that live in the ground. So
what are some of the things that you're doing or that you would recommend people do at home to get their beds ready? You know, if it's not quite time to plant, what should they be doing now?
So right now, if you haven't cut back your perennials in fall, this is the time to pull off the dead foliage and expose the crowns of your plants to light, sunlight, and air. In vegetable gardens, you probably can also pull out the biggest weeds because, believe it or not, they grow over wintertime. So just to clean off the beds. Maybe start to think about what kind of fertilizer you're going to use, manures, and other things.
And Manuela, is it too early for adding manure, or is this a good time?
I would not add the manure yet.
Plants aren't using it quite yet.
No. They have to be actively growing. So if you would add manure or any other fertilizer right now, with these rains coming here, it would just all leach out and go in
wasted.
Groundwater, actually.
Yes, we don't want that. Yeah.
But it's definitely also time for planning, if you haven't done that yet. And if you have raised beds and they start to dry up, There's many plants like lettuce and peas and beets and carrots that need and enjoy the cool weather. All your cabbages and broccolis, if you want to pre-store them in the house, and then in another 2-3 weeks, it's time to actually plant them.
Wow.
So we can start to get excited about growing.
Actual planting and growing. And if you're in a secluded location, or if you've got a way of protecting your plants, is it? I imagine it's still a little early to be planting lettuce, even if you've got covered.
I wouldn't put lettuce seed out. I think it's still too cold and wet for that. But if you pre-started your lettuce and harden it off,
you might be able
to. Don't just take it from your 70-degree building and put them outside. They might not like that.
No one likes that.
But if you acclimate them for a few days and you have little lettuce starts, they could go out, and a piece of frost cloth covering them up the first few nights, they'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting talking about, extending the growing season. We don't have a hoop house or a greenhouse or anything at the school gardens, and we're going to be putting one in at the Homeschool Academy, a little hoop house, little greenhouse thing. So we'll be able to extend it for the school gardens.
That'll be an exciting addition. It must be particularly challenging planning the school garden, knowing that you want to put some things in that the kids will see grow before the end of the school season. And
right.
It comes up pretty quick.
Yeah. So like she mentioned, Manuela mentioned like the lettuces and the peas and things like that. So yeah, it's challenging because, the growing season here is so short. And then, you put a summer in there too, when that's like the peak season and the kids are, playing soccer. So
yes. Manuela, do you have any tips for that, for the folks that might be helping with the school gardens, things that might either be ready early or be ready late when they're back in school?
So certainly all the lettuces, kales, all the leafy stuff grow so fast. But radishes, they're always fun for kids. Beets and carrots. And carrots, actually, I think is nice because you have to thin them.
Right.
And the kids can eat them as they're thinning them. And then when they come back from summer break, then they have big carrots.
Right.
And then for the fall, of course, all your pumpkins and
squash,
winter squashes, especially, and potatoes.
Do the kids have a favorite or favorites?
I think that they love pumpkins. They love pumpkins. They love strawberries. What else? I mean, anything that they grow, it's just like the ownership that I mentioned is like, but pumpkins, I think, are the big favorites. And Diane Green of Green Tree Naturals has a really cute program. I don't know if you've heard about it, where she goes to Northside and the kindergartners plant in the spring, little pumpkin seeds and they grow in the school windows and whatnot. And then they come as a field trip and plant them in her pumpkin patch. And then they go back in the fall and they put their little name tags, next to where the pumpkin is. So they come back in the fall and then they follow the vines, and that is like such a fun day. And they've got these little tiny, it's first graders in the fall, little tiny kids with these huge pumpkins. So that's a favorite. Oh. And I should mention too, Diane Green, we were just finishing this up today, has created a workshop manual for like all the elementary schools and the community garden with just tons and tons and tons of resources. So that will help out a lot too.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. So the pumpkin day at the Green Tree Naturals is quite a fun day.
I'm just envisioning a kid's book with, the theme of the pumpkin day, and I can see the artwork already on it.
I know. Oh, and we have little garden journals too, so they like have little drawings and everything. And kids pick up on stuff. You got to be careful what you say, because one time we had gotten a frost, and I mentioned to one of the volunteers with the tomatoes, it's like, it got the tomatoes, and it's like, oh gosh, these tomatoes look really funky, And it's, so then back in the garden journals, it's like everybody wrote, today we harvested funky tomatoes.
Well, you're doing this already, but I'm interested if you have other fun stories. Manuela, do crazy, funny things happen either at the nursery or when you're helping out with the gardeners?
Oh, You know, you're putting me on the spot here.
That's all right. If you don't, if nothing comes to mind, that's perfectly all right. And
You know.
That's right.
I am put on the spot.
How about the kids and animals and bugs, Michelle?
Oh, my gosh. Worms. You find a worm, it's like, you know, you found gold. It's like, here's a worm. And then if you find a frog, that's like double points. I mean, they love it. It's like, you know, worms and insects, everything. You know, when we take care of them, it's like, okay, put the, you know, worm back and explain to them, you know, like what the function of the worm is in the garden. So, yeah, that's very, very popular.
Yes. You know, I will have to share one story about insects that Don and I encountered. We had something eating our bean leaves, and I think it was eating another plant's leaves. And those little students were so interested in knowing what that bug was and how we were going to deal with it organically, mm-hmm. because Sagal Elementary doesn't want to use any form of chemical. And so poor Don and I had to go home and research and figure out what our solution was going to be. And it was luckily a pretty easy one, diatomaceous earth. That's a kind of a scritchy material that we put on the ground, and suddenly the bugs were gone.
And that solved your problem?
That was it.
Oh, good.
But
good.
They thought it was magic, those little students. They just were thrilled that we'd come up with a
problem for
solution.
The high schoolers, you use the beer and eggshell trick because they're getting older now. They
hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
So
yes, that's right. Well, you know, you're both organizations that deal with a lot of giving to the community, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of volunteers, and I imagine resources. What are the needs for this year? Would you like to share with us what and who you might need help from, with, et cetera?
Well, I get a lot of help from my husband.
Yes, at the nursery.
And then I just have 3 to 4 employees, and we manage. All of us have another job, and I'm a ski instructor. My fellow employers are employees are ski instructors, so we are meshing those two professions together. And it's my season is short and fast.
Yes.
It's, you know, April, May, and June.
And that's it.
And then that's really it.
Yes. And the Bonner County Gardeners, do they look for helpers during the year for anything? Are they relatively self-sufficient in that they're a large organization?
They usually draw from their own members. They have a large membership. And it seems like they usually find within themselves, within the group, they find their needs covered.
They're an active group.
Yes.
Probably looking for new members, too.
Always.
That's right.
Yeah.
Michelle, what are the needs for the gardens
this
year?
Yeah, this spring, keep your eye open on the library. We'll need volunteers there. Christ our Redeemer again. And I forgot to mention, we're going to be putting a water system in at the Waldorf School. There's one teacher there that has been watering the plants every day by hand, so we're putting in a watering system there. And then at the middle school as well, we'll need help building beds. I think the Juvenile Justice Services Community Service Program has been building all of the beds for the community garden, so they may be doing that, but we'll need help installing the garden and shoveling dirt, and so just kind of keep your eye open. And also, we're thinking about having somewhat of a, you know, on a smaller scale, kind of a garden tour of the community gardens, and, you know, it's kind of
fun.
Christ our Redeemer, library, and
farm.
Kind of keep your eye open for that. So lots of exciting things happening.
That's right. I suppose no picking involved when you're touring those gardens.
Unless it's harvest season.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we probably do need help harvesting. Yeah. So, you know, like the food bank, that would be fantastic.
Having shows like that, garden shows, it's amazing when people know that they get to show off the fruits of their labor. It's just amazing what they create in their gardens, and especially with the kids.
Right.
That little bit of competition will bring a lot of motivation.
Right. Yeah, so I would just keep your eye on like the library's website, because they're kind of like the hub of the community gardens at this point. So. Mm-hmm. And a huge shout out to the city, too. I mean, they're supporting all of this. The school district, you know, is they just said, as long as it's organic and, you know, a school staff prepares the food, you can have these gardens. You know, and the maintenance people have been so patient with us. So I mean, it's really just a lot of support from the businesses. You know, it's like always giving us free things and discounts. And so it's just a great community project.
It's a wonderful project.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to mention, it's so true. And the involvement of the teachers is, you're exactly right about that, Michelle, because it is an extra job for them. It's sort of part of science, but it is extra. They've got to make time for the gardeners and time for the kids to get out. And it can be a bit disruptive. Everyone's out running around.
And
they're so kind about accommodating.
I know. Everyone's been really, really generous.
They are. Well, as we start to wind down for the end of the morning show, are there any other events or dates we should be keeping in mind that you'd like to mention? And if nothing else, contact information again.
Right. I think Christ Our Redeemer, let's see, is 263-7516. And we were talking during the break that, you know, we're growing all this produce in the community. And so kind of like the next step is like, what do you do with it?
Yes.
So at Christ Our Redeemer, I think that they're going to be planning on having free cooking classes and free food preservation classes. So keep your eye open for that. And I think that there's going to be more of those types of projects, you know, sprouting up around town.
And Manuela, during the break, you were mentioning something that I find to be true as well. And it's about that beautiful, delicious produce that comes in. But if someone doesn't have an idea, Manuela, tell us what happens at your house.
Well, when I bring the produce in from the garden and put it in the refrigerator, I find that my husband just really doesn't quite know what to do with it. But if I go ahead and clean it and portion it off and maybe even chop it, he uses it right away. And so to create that connection in the schools at a young age that this is really how our food looks. It has soil on it and it has green on it or roots on it. And it's alive.
It's something real.
It's real, yeah. But to fill that gap of what do we do when he comes out of the ground and what do we have to do to make it go on the plate.
And have it look sort of appealing and edible.
Yes,
It can be daunting for folks that aren't out in the garden and receive these things.
And also you mentioned little bugs eating. In the store, we are kind of used to perfect
food.
Produce. And that's the cream of the crop, especially when you go into organic gardening. You have to develop a tolerance to imperfection.
Yes.
And maybe you need to cut out a brown spot or deal with a carrot that has three legs and it's not just one. Yeah.
But it's worth it for the flavor, isn't it? It really is.
Oh, yeah. And again, just the satisfaction of that you grew the food is tremendous.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We've talked about community garden upcoming events. And I know with the Bonner County Gardeners, I think they've got a plant sale at some point, don't they?
They will have a plant at their annual plant sale. And it's going to be in May, the 10th and 11th of May, and it's at the entrance of the Bonner Mall.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's always a not-to-be-missed plant sale.
Yeah. And those are plants from the members. They come out of their gardens, so everything should be well acclimated for this area.
Very good. Yeah. And, of course, that garden tour, but that's toward August.
That is in July, July 7th,
And all right.
I think the garden tour is just amazing. If you even if you're not a plant buff, just to go out there and see other people's homes and discover new areas in Bonner County, it's a really neat thing to do.
That's really awesome.
It is. Yeah. Phil, I find it an odd combination of inspirational and discouraging. They're so perfect.
Yes, yes. It can be intimidating.
That's right.
Well, what a wonderful way to welcome April and spring. So thank you both for being on the show this morning.
Yes. So once again, thank you for joining us, Michelle Murphy from Community Gardens and Manuela Eyring from the Bonner County Bonner County Gardeners and Florescape, her own nursery. We're going to take a short song break and then coming back with upcoming events and KRFY shows. Here comes, this is for you, Phil, Johnny Cash with Sunday Morning Coming Down. However, today it's Tuesday morning.